Support for WSJ comes from Comcast, committed to improving your customer service experience with two-hour appointment windows, including nights and weekends, because they should fit into your life, not the other way around. Learn more at Xfinity.com/service.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, welcome. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. So last year, Apple kicked off a massive experiment with new privacy tech aimed at solving an increasingly tricky problem: how to build products that understand users without blatantly snooping on their activities. The answer is differential privacy, and here to break down what this new cutting-edge tech is The Wall Street Journal's Robert McMillan, joining us via San Francisco. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Tanya.
What exactly is differential technology? It's a newer term we're hearing more now that companies like Microsoft, Uber, Apple, they're all experimenting with this. Can you first break down what this tech is?
Well, differential privacy is about 10 years old, and the easiest way to think of it is to think of it as a marriage of mathematics and statistics. It's not unlike cryptography in that the basis of what differential privacy really is about is the math of it, the math of proving that you will be anonymous if certain precautions are taken. Now, the way it can be implemented, there are a number of ways you can implement differential privacy, but at the end of the day, it comes down to the math of proving that if you have one database and you have a bunch of your data in it, that somebody can't then take a second database and figure out stuff about you, which is something that has sort of happened over the last decade.
What's been the role of privacy experts and privacy advocates regarding this specific tech?
Well, differential privacy was created by privacy experts, and people that are very obsessed with it find it encouraging. Yet at the same time, it's this kind of thing that's been around in academic papers for a while, but we're only in the last few years starting to see it implemented in software. So it's got a short experience in the real world, and I think there is some concern that, you know, we may think of it as this amazing technology that will allow us to do all kinds of things with our gadgets and retain complete privacy, you know, and complete anonymity. It's not clear how widely applicable it's going to be.
Seems like it's going to be pretty crucial to Apple's artificial intelligence efforts, which is a crucial effort in and of itself. Will it play a big role down the road?
Well, that remains to be seen. I mean, I find that the most fascinating aspect of it, because Apple has taken a very strong stand on privacy. They've pretty much decided that that's a competitive differentiator between them and a company like Google. Google knows your searches. It has access to your mail. Google knows so much about mm-hmm. you, it's actually kind of frightening.
Mm-hmm.
Apple has said, okay, listen, we don't, you know, need to know all that. We're selling phones, we're selling services, we're not selling ads or data about you, so we don't need to know that. Well, since they adopted that position, this explosion in deep learning has come along, and the fundamental currency of artificial intelligence these days is data. So Google and Facebook have done very well with AI because they have amazing amounts of data, and they're mining it and finding new ways of improving their products using that data. Now, Apple wants to do the same kind of thing, but it's kind of painted itself into this way we are really obsessed with privacy corner. And so for them, differential privacy may be a way out. It may be a way for them to use the data while still providing mathematically proven guarantees that you're not going to be de-anonymized. They're not going to be able to figure out stuff about you personally from the data. They'll be able to keep it all anonymous.
We're speaking to The Wall Street Journal's Robert McMillan about the new tech called differential privacy. You're listening to The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
We know you well. You who became a multimillionaire at 43 and you who was born one. We know you, who loses sleep over how your kids will deal with inheriting a fortune. And you, no longer getting a paycheck, but not needing one either. And also you, who doesn't have to work, but can't help not to. You serial entrepreneur, you. At BNY Mellon Wealth Management, we know because we know you well. And that gives us the necessary insight to help you grow, protect, and transfer your wealth. BNY Mellon is the corporate brand of the Bank of New York Mellon Corporation and its subsidiaries.
Thanks for joining us. So, You see Apple using this now in a big way. Google is big in the game. How are other notable tech companies out there experimenting with this tech, and what's on the horizon with where this all could go?
Well, the dirty little secret about differential privacy is it was actually created by a researcher at Microsoft. And Microsoft hasn't done as much with it as Google and Apple have, but they're working with customers on it. Their research lab is interested in it. Apple has been really the most aggressive in implementing it. In September they added it to every iPhone and iPad that is in existence. That's about a billion devices. And if you sort of sign up for the send feedback back to Apple option on your phone, then you're using it. And that's quite remarkable. They have a number of patents in the area that they filed in the last year, and they clearly want to use it as much as they possibly can. The question is, you know, how will it apply to every scenario that they can think of? We don't know the answer to that. In my reporting, we discovered that Uber is now experimenting with it. And surprisingly, the U.S. Census Bureau, not a company that comes up or not an entity that comes up a lot when you're writing about technology, is really interested in it. And they've done some very remarkable work with it. It turns out that at the census, they have a obligation to keep the data they use private, and they have been worried because there are all these secondary databases that can be used to, again, here's that word, de-anonymize census data. So they, in a way, they see this differential privacy as an answer to an existential threat. They have to collect data, but they also have to retain, you know, provide privacy guarantees to the citizens of the United States. So they're in some ways the most interesting one to watch here.
Oh, interesting to see where this will go. Robert McMillan, thanks so much for the time.
All right. Great talking with you, Tanya.
For more on Robert McMillan's coverage, you can head to WSJ.com/tech. This has been The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Thanks for listening.
Enjoy our podcasts? Then listen in your car. Before you start down the road, just sync your smartphone using Bluetooth or plug into the USB port. Got Apple CarPlay? Just tap on the podcast app and search for WSJ. So, the next time you're getting behind the wheel, take us along and enjoy the ride. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.